WNYC Studios is supported by the Brennan Center for Justice, presenting The Failed Experiment of Mass Incarceration. This virtual event on Wednesday, April 17th at 3 p.m. will feature criminal justice advocates and contributors to the new book, Excessive Punishment: How the Justice System Creates Mass Incarceration. They will discuss why the American approach to criminal justice is so punitive and how reforms would prioritize human dignity and restoration over retribution. Find more information and register for this event at brennancenter.org/events.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and perhaps no group of Americans has experienced more change since 9/11 than Muslim Americans. Like all Americans, they feel the pressure of a difficult economy and political turmoil, all while living under a unique spotlight since the terrorist attacks of 2001. But a study released today found that Muslim Americans are more optimistic about the future than any other religious group in the United States. The survey is the product of more than 3 years of research from the Abu Dhabi Gallup Center. And here to discuss the study is Dalia Margahed, its director and senior analyst. She's also a former advisor to President Obama as a member of the Office of Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships. So, Dalia Margahed, welcome to WNYC. Hello.
Hello. It's great to be here. Thank you.
First, before we get into the specifics of the findings and take calls from people on how they would answer the questions, tell us about the Abu Dhabi Gallup Center. People know the Gallup poll, and it is that company, right? And people know the Nation of Abu Dhabi, but they don't usually think of the two together.
Well, it's a great question. The Abu Dhabi Gallup Center is a branch of Gallup in the United Arab Emirates. The capital of the UAE is Abu Dhabi. We wanted to start a center in Abu Dhabi to have a regional presence where we could closely connect with the people of the region, because, of course, at the Gallup Center for Muslim Studies, we've been surveying and studying the Middle East and other Muslim-majority societies for several years. And this was a chance to get closer to the region and connect with policymakers and the public there.
You started your research in 2008, I gather, and one of the big findings of this study is that Muslim Americans are more optimistic than any other religious group about what? The future of the United States or their fortunes and fates in the United States?
They're more optimistic in general about their lives. So we ask people to rate their lives today from on a scale of 0 to 10 and their lives in 5 years. And we found that not only are they better off today, but they feel that the future will be even brighter than anyone else thinks their future will be. What's really interesting about that measurement of life evaluation is it correlates with social stability. So as I said, we've been polling in the Middle East and in Egypt and Tunisia. This measure of life evaluation has been plummeting for the past several years. And of course, we know what happened there. So there's this very interesting link empirically with falling sense of life satisfaction and social unrest. So it's very optimistic, it's very positive to see that in America, among Muslim Americans and indeed among many other religious communities, things do look better. What's really striking, though, is that Muslim Americans have improved the most in their sense of life satisfaction from 2008 to 2011.
Could that correlate with a lot of them being fairly recent immigrants, if in fact they are, that a lot of relatively new immigrants would be optimistic about the future compared to people who've been here, whose families have been here for generations?
It's a good question. First, most Muslim Americans are actually born here in the United States. The largest racial group among Muslim Americans are African Americans, of course, who are not immigrants at all. 35% of Muslim Americans, the largest group. So it's not that they're recent immigrants. In 2008, they were actually less likely than other faith groups to be satisfied with their lives. What it probably correlates much better with is things like identifying with the United States, being able to worship freely. We actually did an analysis of what what is associated with high life evaluation, and found that some of the highest variables were, A, that they had confidence in the FBI, that they had high identification with the United States, and that they frequently attended a religious service and identified strongly with their faith. So it paints this portrait of a person who feels that they can be comfortably fully Muslim and fully American and aren't seen as suspects.
And you found that Muslim Americans are more likely than any other U.S. religious group to believe in the honesty of the U.S. elections. Maybe not many of them live in Florida. No, I'm kidding. But so this whole, that goes in, you know, adds to that whole picture you were just painting. But despite all the surveillance and everything else and infiltration and arrests, belief in the integrity of the FBI, you said?
Yes. What's interesting is that Muslim Americans are, perhaps not surprisingly, less likely than other Americans to have confidence in the FBI.
But less likely.
But those who do indeed have confidence in the FBI are happier. It correlates with being satisfied with your life. It actually shows that how people feel about the FBI, which seems maybe as something very obscure to most people's lives, affects their everyday life. How much confidence they have in the FBI actually impacts their life satisfaction in such a strong way.
It's not an abstract.
It is not an abstract
opinion.
Thing. And so it really shows that the better we get at our counterterrorism, the better we are as a society.
Now, let's see. If we get some Muslim Americans on the phone, will you ask them one or two of what you consider some of the most interesting questions in the survey? And I realize you did an actual formal scientific survey, and what we will do is informal and thoroughly unscientific. But will you do that with us?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Sure.
Dalia Mogahed from the Abu Dhabi Gallup Poll Center, 212-433-WNYC. Muslim Americans, you want to react to these findings? Do these reflect your attitudes, your family's attitudes, your community's attitudes? You've heard some of the findings so far, or if you want to be asked a question and just see where you come down on some of these things, 212-433-WNYC. Join the conversation, 212-433-9692. For about the next 10 minutes, our lines are open for Muslim Americans only as we talk about the findings from this major survey of Muslim American public opinion 10 years after 9/11. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Here's an interesting one, Dalia. You found that many Muslims said that no national Muslim American organization represents their interests. 55% of Muslim American men and 42% of women said no national Muslim American organization represents their interests. So that's about half, you know, roughly. So half feel they do, half feel they don't. What does that tell us?
Well, it tells us several things. First, that we Muslim Americans need to keep building their institutions, and Muslim American national organizations need to keep reaching out to the grassroots and do a better job of understanding what's on the minds of ordinary Muslim Americans. But it also shows that in many ways, the mobilizing mechanisms that many communities have to get the vote out or to encourage political participation aren't in place as well, aren't as well established for Muslim Americans. So you mentioned their confidence in elections. They also have high confidence in America's judicial system and even its media, but yet they are less likely to be registered to vote. So there's this gap between a faith and a passion for the democratic process, but an actual participation in it is falling behind. And that missing link might be that there isn't enough of a mechanism to mobilize Muslims politically.
But did you measure that across religions? Like, I would guess off the top of my head that even fewer Catholics or Jews or any kind of Christians would say that there's a national organization that speaks for their interests. What do you think?
Brian, you're making a very good point. And no, we didn't measure it across religious groups. And I think that that's something we should do in the future, because you might be absolutely right. The numbers we have, we have nothing to compare them to. And they might be very, very ordinary numbers. They might look like every other group. We just don't know yet.
Let's take a phone call. Here is Asif in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hello.
Yes, hi.
Thank you for calling. Did you want to react to any of these findings to start out?
Yes, I will. What I see most changes in our community is people getting away from the other version of Quran, which is Hadith, and getting closer to Quran. I think in America, my kids going to read Quran, and I don't let them listen to from Mullah anything other than Quran. I said, no, don't listen anything from the Hadith.
So
it is the Hadith who says what to do, what not to do, kill this, and infidels, and all about that. Quran does not, you know.
So it's about different versions of the Quran that may be more or less friendly to radical views.
Well, let me chime in here. Thank you very much for your call. We found in our research that Muslim Americans were the most likely faith group in America to say that targeting and killing civilians by a military or by a non-state actor was never justified. So sympathy for or any kind of rationalization for when it would be justified is lowest, actually, among Muslim Americans. In our global work, where we've surveyed 90% of the global Muslim population, we found that the minority that do sympathize with terrorism give us political justifications for those views, not religious doctrine.
Maria in Westport. You're on WNYC. Hi, Maria.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
So much.
So did you want to react to any of this, or did you want to get a couple of survey questions?
Well, I was willing to take a question.
Okay.
I'm willing to take a question.
Willing to take a question.
Okay. Take a question.
Okay, pollster. Thanks. Pollster, you're on.
Okay, and this is off the top of my head, so it might not be exactly the wording we used, but which of the following do you think applies to Muslims living in this country? A, loyal to this country.
Yes.
Does it apply or not apply?
Yes, it applies. They are loyal to this country.
Okay. B, sympathetic with Al-Qaeda. Terrorist organization.
They are not sympathetic with Al-Qaeda.
Okay. Face a great deal of prejudice. Does it apply or not apply?
Medium prejudice, not as much as you think.
Okay. Well, I think your answers are, very typical of what we heard. We found that first, more than 90% of Muslim Americans say that Muslim Americans in general are loyal to this country. Similar percentages say that they do not sympathize with Al-Qaeda. About 60% think that Muslim Americans face prejudice. What was really interesting about those three questions is how close Muslim Americans were to Jewish Americans. Jewish Americans were the most likely religious community after Muslim Americans to say that Muslim Americans were loyal, that they did not sympathize with Al-Qaeda. And Jewish Americans were even slightly more likely than Muslim Americans to say that Muslim Americans were facing prejudice. It was one of the one of the most interesting parts of the survey is this emerging commonality between Muslim and Jewish Americans.
That is really interesting. What percentage of Muslim Americans said they do identify with Al-Qaeda?
That it does apply. I have to go back. It was either 3 or 4% that said that this does apply, that they are sympathetic, that Muslim Americans in general tend to be sympathetic.
That Muslim Americans in general. It wasn't talking about them in particular.
No,
it was their estimation
of
the community.
Yes, exactly.
So Peter King would say if 3 or 4 out of every 100 in a community identify with the sworn enemy of the United States, then and want to kill civilian Americans, a group that wants to kill civilian Americans, if 3 or 4 out of every 100 identify with them, then you need to hold hearings on things like the potential for homegrown terrorism.
Well, I think that, you know, there is a very that's a very important issue that we do need to discuss. What we also have to look at is the other 90-plus that say they're not. And so what's important to understand is how can we weed out the dangerous element without alienating natural allies?
Mm-hmm.
And what the data suggests is that counterterrorism's greatest ally in this war or battle against terrorism are Muslim Americans themselves. They are the most likely to unequivocally reject attacks on civilians by non-state actors as well as militaries. And so is there a better way to conduct counterterrorism? What was so interesting about the research is while being the most opposed to the tactic of terrorism, Muslim Americans were also the most critical of the interventions and institutions that we were using to counter terrorism. And so there's this disconnect. It appears that this natural ally is being alienated rather than taken in as a strong partner.
Results from a major survey released today of Muslim American public opinion done by the Abu Dhabi Gallup Center that is in Abu Dhabi affiliated with the Gallup poll people on Muslim American public opinion 10 years after 9/11. My guest has been Dalia Mugahed, director and senior analyst of the center and a former advisor to President Obama as a member of the Office of Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships. It's been very illuminating. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And we'll finish today with our occasional feature, a call-in of ambivalence. With everybody digging in on polarized politics, we'll ask you to call right now only with issues on which you have mixed feelings. In a black and white world, shades of gray, welcome here. A call-in of ambivalence. Pick your issue, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. We'll take those mixed feeling calls right after this.